Isn't this is just so incredible. Remember the stack of balloons we started with? We thought we might lose Ellis to the atmosphere the first time it came out, and we're down to this. It is absolutely incredible to see what God has done. Absolutely incredible to see what God has done. Thanks, Ellis. Speaking of Ellis, for leading us in worship. Worship team, amazing job. Thank you. It's so beautiful, especially in a moment like this, to be reminded of how holy and worthy and amazing, majestic, beautiful our God is. Help us put everything in perspective. It's humbling on the one hand. We recognize that without him, we're nothing but dirty, rotten, miserable sinners. But by his grace, we're seated in heavenly places, and we're seeing our God move on our behalf. He loves us, and he is good. He is good. He is good. Well, thank you, pastors, for the privilege of speaking this morning. And I'm going to share just what God has been doing in my life and in my family's life and in our church family's life. I believe, and not everybody is necessarily going to say that's 100% my perspective. I know as we look back at 2020, we're all looking at it through some different lenses, but hopefully we can all look at it through one similar lens, and that is through the lens of faith in God and who he is, because he is God, and he has not changed. He has always been good, always will be good, and he's good to us today. So 2020, coming to a close, and some of us are saying, thank you, Lord, for that, and we're just so glad to move on from 2020. Again, lots of different perspectives. You've seen some of the memes. We've got a couple of them here to show you. I guess let's show this. Yep. There's 2019, and here comes 2020, right? surprise. You know, that's kind of what it seemed like. You know, welcome to the new year. You've seen this maybe. 2020, very bad, would not recommend it. It's so bad that you can't even spell recommend it, right? You just go, not recommended. I don't know, you know, they're pulling the star away. You've seen some of that stuff. People have cups that go out, 20, don't do it. 10 out of 10, would not do it again, you know, 2020. Glad it's over, let's move on. We've got the vaccines coming out, which we've got a couple that are in use, and things seem to be going pretty well with that, some side effects, all that, but that might end up being a game changer. But we do have some side effects, people concerned about that, and everything that's happening there. And so, again, just lots of different perspectives. We had a family Zoom meeting for Christmas with the 9 siblings and my parents, and we all just kind of shared a little bit about the year in review and how it had gone, and everything started with the oldest, went to the youngest. It's kind of what we usually do. I don't know why, we're just kind of stuck with that. And I think we're just expecting the youngest to be cute and kind of ended on a cute note. But now we're all adults and everything, and so we need to kind of get past that, figure out some other way to do this. I don't know. But anyway, it was interesting to see all the different perspectives, and some of us talking about how God has been so good, and then other people saying, it was terrible. I can't wait to move on, you know, and all that. Same families, a lot of people coming from the same perspective, but having different perspective on this year as we look at it in review. And so as I look back at it, this is the last Sunday message for the year. I want to kind of address that and then look at the year that is coming. And I hope this will be encouraging to you. And again, this is some perspective from my own life, my family, and from what God's been doing here in our church. All right, so we've got three simple points. The last one is kind of the meaty part of it as we look at 2021. But if we're going to make a smooth transition into this next year and approach it with the perspective I believe God has for us, I've got three things that maybe can kind of help us do that, because we're not really sure what's going to happen. We don't. And so here's some things to maybe help us in that. Okay, first, we're going to have to put our hope in God. It's kind of a big duh, maybe. Okay, we're going to have to put our hope in God, because if not, we might be sorely disappointed. All right, there is a chance that we could jump out of the frying pan and into the fire, right? And nobody wants to think that way, right? Like, but it's true. There's absolutely the possibility. We've got this new strain of COVID-19 in the UK that's now in Canada, probably in the United States, that's much more easily transmitted, and all the things that are happening there. We don't know. We just don't know what's coming. But we might be going, man, I'm just so excited for a new year, but it might just be next year. There's no guarantees that flipping a page on the calendar is going to change the whole year and that everything's got to be different. There's no rules, there's no laws of nature that say when you change from one year in the calendar to the next that everything has got to be new and different. The first day of January might look a lot like the last day of December. We don't know. But my hope can't be in what God will do alone. My hope can't be in what he is doing alone. My hope can't be in what he has done alone. My hope needs to be in him alone. Because if our hope is in our circumstances, we're likely to be sorely disappointed. All right, circumstantial hope will be a hope that is usually disappointed. But a hope that's in the divine is one that's going to be brimming with promise and hope. Our hope has to be in God. Our hope must be in God. If today it is well with my soul, then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And tomorrow it is likely to be well with my soul as well. Pastor Tom spoke about hope this last Sunday. And he spoke about Romans 12:12. He shared this: be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Our hope has got to be in him, not just in what he might do. Not just in what he might do. Jeremiah 17:7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. In him. Psalm 62:5-6. My favorite here. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Our hope has to be in him. Again, not just what he's going to do with our circumstances, but in him. Because we all know he may use our circumstances to change us and shape us, to refine us, as was even prophesied and shared today. It's beautiful. Okay, second, if we're going to make a smooth transition, we're going to move into 2021 with the right perspective. We've also got to be looking to the people of God. So we have to hope in God and look to the people of God. Now, this has been a little bit more challenging as it's been harder to gather. We've had some constraints and some difficulties with all of that and everything. But Scripture is still absolutely relevant to our circumstances today. This whole thing didn't surprise God. There is no clause in Scripture that says, and by the way, when COVID-19 really hits in 2020, then go ahead and do this instead. The principles of God stand strong, and he remains sure and steadfast, and it is still true today. Hebrews 10:23-25, a lot of us are pretty familiar with this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on. I love it. Let us consider how. Not whether we can or can't. There is a way. All right? There is a way for us to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. In order to fulfill this, we're going to have to fight for it, okay? It's not as easy as it was 9, 10 months ago. It might look a lot more like some Zoom meetings or a walk outside with somebody instead of hanging out in a coffee shop, which you can't do. Wearing masks as a congregation, whatever, okay? Whatever your perspective on all this is, but we can do this, all right? And then we have to ask ourselves, limitations are an obstacle or an excuse? It's easy for them to become an excuse to not encourage each other, to not get together in the ways that we can, to not provoke each other on to good works, to not stir each other up. It's an obstacle, but it doesn't have to be an excuse. And it's really easy for it to become an excuse for, I can't do it. I'm just stuck in isolation. None of us are completely stuck in isolation without an opportunity to connect with the people of God in one way or another. We've been blessed with this big facility where we can have at least 200 people gather. Given the current constraints that we have, even in the prohibitive way that they are in our state, it's difficult, but we can make it work. We're making it work. Able to do stuff online and at home and everything. We've got obstacles, but not excuses for us to gather together and do what the Scripture has given us. It's amazing. We have to ask ourselves, are we leaning toward convenience or conviction? And when our conviction wavers, we might be going, gosh, I'm really starting moving it toward convenience here. And we've got to fight for that which we know is true and is important. I have yet to talk to any of our college students who have said that isolation has been beautiful for them. It's been the best thing ever happened. By the grace of God, we've talked to several who have said in the midst of the isolation, they've turned to God, and God has moved in their lives in some radical ways, which is so beautiful. They've gone, I pressed into Jesus, maybe more than I ever have. And God has done great things. He's worked this together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. But it's not good for man to be alone. And we must continue to stick with the Word of God and find ways that we can spur each other on, provoke each other to good works, gather together as we can and everything, and it's a beautiful opportunity. So let us not make excuses, but instead overcome the obstacles to see God's purposes fulfilled. We're going to have to do it in 2021, probably, like we've had in 2020, at least so far. Thank you. Okay, great. Got it? Great. An amazing sound team. It's cool. Hazel hasn't been on the sound team in 42 years, but she's back on it today and helping out. She's amazing. We got an amazing crew. Thank you, everybody, making all this happen. And then the last part of this, we're going to have vision from God to make all this happen, to see it through. For 2021 to be what it's supposed to be, I believe we're going to need vision from God. Another scripture that we're pretty familiar with as I get into this morning. Okay, here it is in the Amplified from Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. A little more simplified in the CSB. Without revelation, people run wild. But one who follows divine instruction will be happy. Love it. If you look in the Hebrew, okay, this word that runs wild, there isn't restraint. In the original language, one of the best descriptions for this is a woman's hair, one with a lot of hair, on a very windy day, which we have happen on the Palouse all the time, right? It's just blown around at random without rhyme or reason. You go, that's kind of crazy chaos. Our lives become random, crazy chaos without a divine revelation, without divine guidance, without a prophetic vision. We just kind of go on. And we had a 2020 vision. It began 27 months ago, and this 2020 vision thing has been going down, and as Pastor Tom just shared, 27 months, a little over 2 years now, and it's incredible, $2.7 million. Remember the very beginning of it? I remember us having a members meeting, remember being gathered down here and kind of talking about the idea and people being excited about it, and then also seeing people whose eyes were kind of like, you know, platters, kind of go, whoa, $2.7 million. And remember all of us thinking, you know, we're going to need something like a miracle for this to happen. It's going to take something pretty miraculous for this to all happen. And then as we were kind of going through it and everything, kind of going, man, it'd be really cool to have like a big donor to kind of help make all this happen. And that wasn't happening. And so then we started going, man, we might need an actual miracle. You know, not just something like a miracle, but like an actual miracle. Not something that resembles a miracle, but is an actual miracle for this to happen. And I was speaking with someone recently who said, you know, it might have been kind of an insensitive thing to keep this whole campaign going through this whole pandemic and everything that's been going on in 2020. And it took me, I actually calculated this, 0.029 seconds to say, no, actually, I can't imagine if we'd stopped this. I can't imagine what life would look like if we'd stopped this. And not to just straight up disagree in the conversation that was going on there. But I began to evaluate life and evaluate this past year and recognize that I can't imagine what life would look like if it hadn't been for this challenge that was put in front of us well before all this. All right. It would have been much more convenient and much less painful if someone had written a check for $2.7 million, assuming that it would have cleared. I mean, I could write a check for $2.7 million, but it'd be a disaster. Unclear. It would have made a radical change in our church finances, right? Okay, but it wouldn't necessarily have changed us. It wouldn't necessarily have changed us. And so I look at this whole thing, a vision from God, and as we look at the 2020 campaign, I want us to look at 2021 through those eyes, all right? The challenge that it all has been and what God has done and everything, and say, why did God do it this? Why did he do it this way? And what maybe does he have for us in 2021? Okay, and so why did God do this to us? All right, I want to draw this out as we look at 2021. Okay, the first thing I think was to bless us. The first thing I think is he did this to us to bless us. Okay, so if we had, there he goes. I forgot about that. I've had this happen before. 2.7 million, okay, times... I'm out of hands here a little bit. We got it. Times one person, okay, equals 2.7 million, okay? Great. One person writes a big check. All right, we got it. This thing's a little tired.
when we pay off the building, we might build a new one. All right, here we go. So, all right, thank you, Tony. All right, if, let's say we had 10 people, okay, write checks for $270,000, okay, that would have done it, right? Okay, we'd have gotten there. 100 people, okay, this is pretty simple math. You guys are all tracking, you're like, okay, I know where you're going here with this, okay. 100 people had written checks for $27,000, okay, that would have done it, all right? 1,000 people, okay, able to gather together to make this happen at $2,700, okay? We actually did all this math going into all this to figure out what's it going to take to do this. And the best math for us was like, what if 2.7 million people all gave a dollar, you know? I'm not sure how we'd get that, but that'd be so painless and everything. Thank you, Tony. That's good. That's all we need. Thank you very much. If we just can find 2.7 million people to give $1, right? It's kind of like one of those bad lottery things. Congratulations. You won $10 million. You get a dollar a year for 10 million years. You're like, that's not gonna help me too much. It would have been way less painful. It would have been way more convenient if that had happened, all right? But this is something that I believe so strongly, all right? We see, as we look at this and look what's happened, I think when we're going into it and this big donor thing wasn't happening, wasn't coming together, and we see God multiplying the pain when he is instead spreading out the blessing. Like, God, if you just do one person, I mean, there's some people like Bill Gates that wouldn't even know it was gone, all right? That's like a dollar to him, right? And it'd be so easy, and it'd save all of us so much pain. And we see God going, well, I'm going to do it this way and spreading the whole thing out. We're going, God, it's like you're multiplying the pain. Like, this is going to be painful for people. But he sees it through the eyes of, I'm going to spread out the blessing. Because this isn't about pain. This is about blessing. And that's what we've seen him do. So the first thing I believe in all this is he did this to bless us. Okay. Second, I believe he did this to keep us. To keep us united. To keep us united in a mission during a time of distancing. In a time where obviously it took us all, despite the distancing, despite the pandemic, despite the struggles and everything, it took all of us to come together to make this happen thus far as we're staring at the finish line. We're not quite there, but we're so close. And it's unbelievable. We had to stay united together to do it. If someone had just written a check, we're like, great, it's done. Now what? But we've had this thing in front of us going, we've got to step out here. We're together in this whole thing. It's kept us united. It's kept us united in a vision and a focus and a mission. It's absolutely beautiful. I'm so grateful for that. Something that we've all continued to talk about. Third, to keep us aware. To keep us aware. We're aware of the blessing of God and abundance. Here, when it would have been easy to focus on lack and scarcity, we're aware of the blessing of God in abundance when it would have been so easy to focus on lack and scarcity. Have things been challenging for us along the way? Sure, all of us, I believe that. But we're looking at this whole thing saying, we see the blessing of God, we're seeing abundance, we're seeing provision, instead of saying, where is God? We have a tangible expression of the grace of God and God doing miracles in the middle of this whole thing. He's keeping us aware that he sees us and he's moving here. It's unbelievable. So this ties into it. Fourth, to see miracles happen. We've seen miracles happen. We looked at this verse so many times, Malachi 3:10 in the New Living. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. I don't know if you're like me, but as soon as I see that, I remember Jesus rebuking the devil in the wilderness, saying, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. But God says, here's the one time. Okay, test me in this. Here's where I want you to put me to the test. You do this and watch what'll happen. And gosh, we've seen that happen. We've seen miracles happen. Financial miracles, yes, absolutely. I know a lot of us have seen God do profound things miraculously financially, but there's so many other miracles that happen in so many ways. And we've had people getting promotions, of course. We have people buy homes in the middle of this whole thing, in the middle of this kind of disaster that's going on and everything. We've had people doing all kinds of stuff. But we've also seen God bless marriages. We've seen God bless families. We've seen, gosh, in our household, our kids closer to Jesus than they've ever been before. It's not just speaking just of financial blessing. There are so many ways that we've been blessed. And we've talked so many times about, oh my goodness, if we were doing some other things, we might, maybe, have more money in the bank. Maybe. If we hadn't been tithing the way we are, we hadn't been giving to the 2020 campaign and what we're doing with that, we might have more money in the bank. I don't know. In fact, I would say probably not. It's just funny how God does things, okay? oh, my gosh. It's terrifying to even think of. But God has blessed us in so many ways. And you can't always put a dollar figure on it. In fact, if we're putting a dollar figure on it, maybe we're missing out on the real blessing. But we've seen miracles happen financially, emotionally, physically, all kinds of things. It's just incredible. Unbelievable. Fifth. Why has God done this to us? To test our faith, I believe. To test our faith. So we got going at it all and everything going, this is going to take a miracle. This is, you know, here we go. And then the 2020 hits and everything, and the stock market plunges, bounces off the floor, and then bounces back down and stays on the floor for a little while and everything. All this happening, everything, right? Okay. And it's kind of like, well, maybe this was a bad timing in this whole thing. Maybe we didn't hear from God. Well, we heard from God or we didn't, right? And so we kind of continue forward and everything. And the people go, maybe we should stop. Maybe we should go, hey, we're going to put this on hold. The 2020 vision has now become the 2025 vision. All right, 2025 vision isn't as perfect as 2020 vision, but it's still pretty good. All right, a lot of people would take 2025 vision. So maybe we just make it that or whatever. But just believe in this is what God has done, is what he said, and we're supposed to stay the course. And again, now we're really going to need to see some miracles. And isn't it interesting when you look at Israel leaving Egypt, all right? They didn't just leave, and it wasn't a one-day trip into the promised land, all right? It seems to never be that way, all right? There's always a wilderness along the way. There's always obstacles along the way. There's always going to be the opportunity for our faith to be tested along the way. There's always going to be some people who say, why don't we just go back? We were better off in bondage. We were better off in slavery. But I think I shared a year or so ago that maybe this whole thing has been less about erasing debt and more about erasing doubt. And God's dealing with both of them as we're going through this whole thing. And he's saying, do you trust me? Will you put your faith in me? And we're like, God, we're stuck between an army and a sea. Now what? Do we seriously start swimming? Do we turn around? And God goes, just wait. I'm going to do miracles, all right? I'm testing your faith. In the middle of that test, miracles are going to happen. You're going to see the deliverance of your God. Stand firm. Stand sure. Stand sure. And he indeed has moved. I'm just so grateful. I'm changed because of this whole thing. Sixth, he did this, I believe, to awaken us. To awaken us. Awaken us to answers to prayer. I was thinking about this. How many times have we said, oh, praise God, what an answer to prayer? But we never really prayed in the first place. We're just kind of a little Christianese a little bit. We're like, oh, God's good. Whatever. But there never really was a prayer. We because of some of the things that we've been going through and everything, we've been praying specifically for some things. God, we need you to move in this campaign and some other areas too. And I think we're starting to recognize, my gosh, he does move according to our prayers. It's kind of a little duh thing here at PJOism or whatever, all right? But an answer to prayer usually looks a lot like an answer to prayer, all right? If we haven't prayed, we just kind of go, oh, that's kind of a coincidental, or, oh, God, just kind of in his goodness or whatever. But if we just leave it up to that, then when we go through difficult things, then we start going, oh, why has God abandoned me? If the random good things happen and we just kind of go, oh, that's nice. Then when the random bad things happen, we go, oh, this is a bummer. Because we're out of tune, out of sync with God and the heart of God and the whole thing. But if we're praying, then the answer to prayer comes. We can recognize it for what it is, a case in point. The house across the street from us was for sale. And it was the list price was pretty high. We're kind of going, this would be great for someone from church to be in. But it was just kind of like a little bit out of reach. So we're going, oh, gosh. Then, God, please bring whoever it is that you want to be there, but someone we're supposed to reach out to, supposed to be someone great for someone, whatever. But we love our little neighborhood, Fountain Street. We're praying through Fountain Street all the time. It's just amazing what God has done there, and it's just so, so cool. And so we're praying that God would do something to keep that intact or whatever, all right? And these people from the west side invaded and just bought the place, and we're like, no, not people from the Seattle area. Great. There goes the Fountain Street. Now it's like Fountain Pit or something. People from the west side move in there. And the Litton family moved in over there, all right? And we're like, oh, great, you know. And so we went over there and met them. We're like, hey, you know what? They're not beyond the reach of God. He can save them, too, even though they're from the west side, you know, all that suffering, right? I'm being a little ridiculous, but kind of, yeah. So we go over there and everything and met these people, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And the truth is that the Littons have changed our neighborhood, maybe more than anybody living on Fountain Street so far. It's actually been humbling, embarrassing, shameful to us, and all that stuff. We're like, wow, we thought we were Christians, you know, that kind of thing. All right, they put this huge pool in their backyard, said, come on over, you know, before everything went crazy and you couldn't even say hi to people legally anymore, you know, all that stuff for me. You know, the kids are going in their pool and all that stuff. We have a pic here of their house across the street. This is what they did to their house, all right? So we're across the street, you know, and Suzanne looks at me like, so what are you going to do? You know, it's sort of one of those, it's not just a neighborhood challenge. It's also like, you know, well, Christmas is important to us too, right? You know? And so I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. You start thinking of the power bill, you know, even with LED lights and all that stuff and all, everything. You know, and so seriously, all of us started decorating our houses a little bit better, a little bit more than years before. We're like, man, we can't just let the Littons, you know, put us all to shame. And like, the one house and everybody, what happened to everybody else, you know? Did Jesus not visit your house this year? We're like, it's 2020, okay? These people are freaks, you know. But they've been absolutely amazing, absolutely incredible. So, you know, what's cool is that because of post painting, I have a man lift. So I was actually able to get way up high in our trees and where no ladder can get you and put lights up where Mark Litton can't do it. Take that, Mark. You know, I'm totally kidding. But it was really cool. They really have changed the neighborhood in amazing ways. They came by, stopped by, and they gave us about, you know, like 18 pounds of fudge. We're like, wow. You know, it's like kids, and everybody carries some. You know, I mean, they've just been amazing. We stopped by and sang a carol to them on Christmas evening and everything. And they're like, we love you guys, all this stuff. I'm like, we love you too. It's incredible. They came through a drive-thru. Incredible people. And I say that because it's an answer to prayer. We prayed a lot about that whole thing. And if it wasn't for prayer in the whole thing, we might just look at it. We might have looked at it and go, oh, this is kind of inconvenient, this, whatever. But we're just going, this is a God-ordained thing, all right? God is moving and doing something, and we need to recognize what he's doing. And the same thing is true with a lot of what's happening during the whole 2020 campaign. He's answering prayer. He's moving. And now he's going, will you recognize what I'm doing? Or will you kind of despise it? Are you going to throw it away? Are you going to discard it? Or are you going to go, this is a blessing of God. What is the purpose of God here? And that's what God is doing. I love it. And then the last thing here. Why did God do this to us? What's the vision here? He did this to change us. To change us. It's changing our perspective. Changing our perspective. We prayed that God would provide for this whole thing, for this crazy idea, and he did, right? In some different ways than we expected. It looks a little more like 2.7 million people gathering together to make something happen than one person with $2.7 million. Might look a little differently than we would have expected, thought, or wanted, or whatever, but he's changing us. He's changing us. Again, just being vulnerable, I was painting Thanksgiving morning. We had a job that had to be done, and so I told Suzanne, I'm sorry, I got to go take care of this thing because the time frame and everything is kind of crazy and all stuff, and she was great, really supportive. So I got up Thanksgiving morning, went and painted a sprayed out a house, a trim package and everything, and I'm there painting, and I'm going, God, this is kind of inconvenient, you know. There's a lot of other ways this could have happened, could have gone down. Did I miss it here? Is this my bad planning? And he's going, yeah, that could be. I'm like, okay, that's fair. And then I'm also going, but what's, you know, and this is what I heard him say back. He said, hey, Joe, I thought you prayed that I would provide for the 2020 campaign. I'm like, well, I did. He said, well, what did you want me to do? Just like rain cash, barrels of cash from the sky? I'm like, well, sure, as long as I don't hit anybody, that's great. You know, I mean, large bills would be wonderful, you know, it'd be great. And he's going, this is my part of my provision. It's not always going to be as convenient as maybe you'd like it to be. But if you're praying, you're going to recognize it for what it is instead of despising it. I'm going to change your perspective and you're going to thank me for it instead of saying, why God? Why God? He's changing our perspective. And this provision might look a little differently than we'd hope. It might look like another house to paint. It might look like another lawn to mow. It might look like another baby to sit or whatever that is. Dykes, twins, like double babysitting job, Anna. Here we go. It's going to look maybe a little bit different than we expected. It's changing us and changing our perspective. But it's absolutely beautiful. For example, we have things that are part of our vernacular, individually, as a family, as a church, that weren't before all this. 2020, blessing. A lot of the world is looking at this going, the 2020 cursing is almost up. Really? I heard someone say, what if 2020 turns 21 and starts drinking? Then what? Right? I thought that's an interesting perspective in the whole thing. All right? The 2020 mess might get uglier. The 2020, we wouldn't even know, we wouldn't recognize it for what it is if God hadn't set us up for this whole thing. And the 2020 blessing. He is so good. I could share a whole bunch of stories from our family, a whole bunch of stories from other people's family. It's just unbelievable what God has done. And he's just changed the way you even talk, the way we even look at things. We didn't know what a 2020 blessing was until this campaign. What will a 2021 blessing look like? 2020 vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish, dwell carelessly. Will we dwell carelessly in 2021, individually, as families, as a church? What will the 2021 blessing look like? Will we even know it if it comes? Will we recognize it for what it is? Will we make it another faith-filled stewardship adventure? I think we're supposed to. We sat around the table Christmas Day at lunch. We did a little tea thing. It was my idea. Suzanne was supportive. That's great. And we started sharing about what was on my heart for this message and talked about God's plan ahead for us as a family. And so I was kind of trying to come up with quotes for the message and stuff. I'm like, hey, guys, what do you think about this? You can't complete a campaign unless you leave camp and embrace pain. They're like, no, Dad, no, no problem. No. Okay, well, that's why we do these meetings. It's good. It's good. And then Liam said this. He I loved it. He said, it seems that God sees us through one campaign to bring us to a new and bigger one. I'm thinking, bigger? I'm like, well, that's neat sentiment, son, but you're kind of naive, you know, or am I kind of cynical and quick to tip to unbelief and lack of faith? It's been challenging, difficult along the way, right? But what if someone who's naive enough to look at this through some eyes of faith that maybe others of us wouldn't says, what's the next bigger campaign that God's got for us? What is it that God's gonna do? And we talk through that. It's beautiful. So my question is this. What is our next faith-building, balloon-busting, doubt-defying, skeptic-skewering, blasé-blasting, routine-wrecking, everyday-evaporating, predictability-pulverizing, mediocrity-melting, faith-filled stewardship adventure, church? What is it? What is it? What will the year of Jubilee hold? What will the 2020 blessing look like? I asked Ellis to keep these up here, and I wish there were a bunch more. What if we got up here, Ellis walked up here and said, guess what, everybody? 100 more people got saved. Boom. What if he walked up here and said, we have 25 more kids in our youth group that have a radical relationship with Jesus and are going to change the world? What if he said, we have 50 more marriages that are going through renewal and are going to be a testimony in the world to the greatness of our God? What if he said, praise God, we got 20 more wells dug in Africa and people drinking clean water? Fifty more orphans with a home in Haiti. Three more church plants. 25 more people baptized. Four more people ordained into the ministry. 25 new students at Pullman Christian School, etc., etc., etc. What will the 2021 blessing look like? Do we know? Have we prayed? Can we look at it through eyes of faith big enough to say it might take more faith than this last one did? He didn't bring us this far so that we could camp and avoid pain. Okay. He brought us this far to bless us with the next one. If we don't get a vision, we'll miss it. If we allow God to deposit it in our souls, it'll keep us focused on Him, and we'll give Him all the glory. Let's pray. God, we thank You. You are so good. So good. You've been nothing but good. It's kind of ridiculous to say it because it's who You are. You are good. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your provision. We know that not everybody is feeling that right now. Not everybody is feeling that right now. So God, I pray that You would move on behalf of those that are going through really difficult times and circumstances. And knowing that the circumstances are challenging, but our God is good and faithful. And God, we pray that You'd see them through. Because though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for You're with us. And Your rod and Your staff comfort us. Yes, Lord, be faithful to finish the work that You started, we pray. God, hold them close, we pray. God, give them faith and hope afresh, we pray. And bring people alongside to encourage them, to provoke them, to move them on, to say, our God is good, and we will see His goodness in the land of the living. And God, I pray that You drop in every one of us, drop in our souls, individuals, families, living units, as a church, Your vision for what it is that's ahead. God, we pray that You'd help us to finish the course of this campaign and move into the next one. Help us to see it through Your eyes, to see it through faith, so we know the blessing that comes to Your people. We love and thank You. In Jesus' name we pray.